If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
We baptize Maddie Lulu and Johnny today. I want us to understand what they're doing. Because what they're doing today, it is quite a big deal. I mean, this is bigger. It is better than joining a sports team or a chess club or a Facebook group, whatever's your thing. And also, it's important to say this is not a kind of coming of age religious ceremony that's kind of expected of them. So they're getting baptized by their own free choice today. And the reason is because something has happened to them that is huge. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. I'm going to leave that up there for us because I want to just spend a few moments explaining this verse this morning. This explains what's happened to them. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Apostle Paul, who wrote that, he is explaining how to be saved. You know, I wonder if you noticed that actually in that Bible reading, he actually mentions being saved three times. It's big in those verses. How do you respond? I mean, honestly, how do you respond when you hear talk of needing to be saved? Godalming's most famous citizen is Jack Phillips. Anyone know why he's famous? If you are local, you've got a big advantage here. Anyone that's not local to here know what Jack Phillips is famous for? Call out. Anyone know? You're local, but I'll take it. Okay. go on, say again. Right, he was the telegraph operator on the Titanic, sending out messages as it was going down. And in fact, he also sent multiple messages to the bridge of the ship, warning of icebergs before it collided. It was Wednesday, the 12th of April, 1912, and he went down with it, and he says he was sending out multiple distress signals. The Titanic at the time was the biggest moving object. They said it was the ship that even God couldn't sink. And so, no surprise then that there were stories, survivor stories, of people who, for a long time after the collision, they simply didn't believe the Titanic was sinking. I mean, how could it? And the crew, because they were afraid of panic breaking out, they played down the dangers. And for a while, many didn't want to go outside because it was just cold. Others were playing with the ice on the deck instead of getting to a lifeboat. People simply didn't believe they needed saving. There we go. There's Jack Phillips. I'm going to put that up. And instinctively, it's kind of like what we're with Jesus. I mean, think of this. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas, whom the angel announces will save his people from their sins. We remember his death on the cross at Easter to save us from God's just punishment on our sins. That's what's happening at the cross. And also his resurrection from the dead to save us from the eternal consequences of our sin, death, and instead offer us eternal life. But we hate that we actually need saving. Spiritually, it doesn't feel like we're on the sinking ship. People play down. People laugh at the idea of needing to be saved from our sin, from coming judgment. It doesn't feel comfortable. It's actually very humbling. And we can spend our lives distracted by anything and everything, not seeing that we personally need to get to the lifeboat, be saved by Jesus. And I do think that in many of our minds, there's this kind of wishful thinking, you know, if God's there, I'm sure I'll wind up okay at the end. I'll be good enough for him to accept me. I loved hearing Maddie, Lulu, and Johnny's stories. Brought up in Christian homes, each one of them, going to church every Sunday, learning about God, reading the Bible, having Christians who prayed for them. And it was really, really easy for them to think that that made them okay with God, that they were therefore Christians, they were saved. But what they're saying in getting baptized today is none of that. None of that saved me. I've been saved by Jesus. So what does that actually mean? Two things from Romans chapter 10. Verse 9. Here's how to be saved. Firstly, openly saying, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Have a look at verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, at the end of the verse, you will be saved. I mean, they've literally done that this morning, haven't they? I mean, this is a whole life thing for sure. But they've literally come to the mic this morning and they've shared their stories and they were using their mouths to declare, Jesus is my Lord. It's saying, Jesus, you are Lord and God. You are the boss of me. I believe and will obey you and what you say in the Bible. That is what Maddie was saying when she talked of now trying to live for Jesus. And actually an amazing thing because you then know that actually he's there for you. He helps you, guides you through those difficult times. That's what Lulu was talking about when she said, I've decided to have my faith in the Lord Jesus and in his name. It's accepting, it's submitting to Jesus as Lord and King over our lives, taking on his name, saying, I am a Christian. But the problem is, that at the heart of our sin is that we don't want anyone to be Lord over us. Not least Jesus. And we don't instinctively wake up in the morning and go, I want to live for Jesus today. To obey Jesus today with my time, my money, my energy. No, instinctively, this is true for all of us, we want to live our own way. We want to do what we want. We want to call the shots in our lives, not Jesus. Our sinful nature is to rebel against our Creator and to treat him as little more than a stranger in a crowd. But I wonder if you've ever had one of those experiences where you've been in a crowd and the people you're with at the end, they say, oh, did you notice so-and-so? And it was a really famous, really important person, and you've just missed them. And that is the danger that we do that with Jesus. He is the towering figure of history whom we divide time by, BC, AD. But maybe it's this morning, if you're honest, you've never really taken the time to properly be introduced to Jesus, who is not only famous for his death, but his resurrection. And that is what makes Jesus the towering figure of history. And the one that we should declare is our Lord and our God, his resurrection. That proves him beyond all doubt to be Lord and God. And that's doing what Johnny's been doing. It's taking time to look for yourself at the evidence for Jesus' resurrection. And as he found, you'll find it is convincing. Do come and chat. Or one of the family members that have been baptized today, chat with them about where do we go? Where might you go to get some good material on that to help think that through, the resurrection of Christ? Because if Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again, the only one in history to do so, surely we cannot ignore him. And we have to openly say, Jesus is my Lord. But being saved, becoming a Christian, is about more than simply saying you believe in the historical facts of Jesus' death and resurrection. I mean, that's what Johnny came to see when he says, I essentially believe the Bible for as long as I can remember. I think in my head it has always been down as a fact, but for a while I think it was only a fact, not something that is true in a more personal way. I might have said, grass is green, this lemon is yellow, and Jesus rose. They were just simple facts to me. So, here's our second thing on how to be saved. It's having a heart that's believing. Jesus is my Savior. Look at verse 9 again. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, Maddie, Lulu, and Johnny have come to the mic this morning, and they have told their stories. They have declared with their mouths, literally, that Jesus is their Lord. But they've done that because something has happened in their hearts. Heart and mouth. Inward belief, outward profession. They go together. So this is about trusting in Jesus personally with your heart, that he rose from the dead after dying for your forgiveness, that you might be forgiven. And so in your heart, turning from your sin of refusing Jesus as your Lord, the sin of treating him like a stranger in the crowd and trusting in him as your Savior. It's seeing that spiritually we are on the sinking ship and we need the lifeboat. And Jesus, he is that lifeboat. And then actually getting in the lifeboat, personally trusting in Jesus for my salvation, your salvation. And we've heard this explained so helpfully this morning by all three of our young people. Lulu talked about how Jesus became personal for her. I always believed in God, but I never realized that I needed to repent. And I have sinned a billion times. From lying about eating all the biscuits, I reckon that's just the tip of the iceberg. To having an argument about tidying my room, I realized that I needed to admit to God about my sin and put my faith in him. You see how personal that is. Well, Johnny started thinking personally about Jesus as he came to realize how much I needed that full and immediate saving from my sin. So one day, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. It's personal. Well, Maddie talked of needing Jesus to fix her. But the only way for that to be true for me was for me to come to him. I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't really because I believed with my head, but not with my heart. It's really hard. It's really hard to find the words to communicate this morning. Just how amazing it is that you and I can get right with God through Jesus Christ. We can know not just about him, we can know him personally today. How about you today? Has what you've heard about Jesus today, has what you know about Jesus to be true today, moved into your heart? So that it's personal to you. Will you openly say, Jesus is my Lord today? Because you've come to believe in your heart, Jesus is my Savior. Now, if you've done that, then God gives you a wonderful promise to assure you here. And if you're someone who's considering doing that, maybe for the first time, then Jesus gives you a wonderful promise here to encourage you. Have a look down at verse 9 of Romans 10, just one more time. It's on the screen here. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. It's not what it says, does it? There's no might about it. It is, and you will be saved. There is no uncertainty here. Openly declaring, inwardly believing that Jesus is your Lord, Jesus is your Savior, that equals certain salvation. It's not you might be saved if you're lucky, or you might be saved if you're good enough or religious enough. No, in fact, the whole context of this verse in Romans chapter 10 is that the Apostle Paul has been saying, this doesn't happen. This does not happen by our own efforts, by our own goodness, by what we do, by being good, by being religious. To become a Christian, you don't somehow need to break through into heaven to know the truth, or to have died and come back from the dead to know what's beyond this life. There's no need to search the universe high and low for Jesus Christ. He's already come. He's already lived and died and risen again. And he is accessible to us today. Everything that is necessary to save you has been done by Jesus. How do you respond to it? Because you don't get saved by automatically. We have to respond. Jesus, this good news of the gospel, it is so near to each one of us today. It's in the heart, it's on the lips of every Christian. Jesus is close, he is accessible today. We have heard the message about faith in him from Maddie, from Lulu, from Johnny, from Romans 10, verse 9. We've seen the difference he's made in the lives of our young people. Becoming a Christian, it is being saved, it is profound, it is life-changing, but it is really, really simple. Can you see that spiritually, you're on the sinking ship? And will you scramble into the lifeboat that is Jesus, openly declaring, inwardly believing, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Do that, and you will be saved. Can I just say as we close that that does not fix now all the mess in our lives, all the brokenness, all the sadness. Life can still feel, life can still be rubbish. But we can then still know that God loves us, he's for us, he's with us, he's in this. We can rely on him. We can be sure that one day he will fix us, and he'll fix us forever. He'll fix all things. But that is another whole sermon. Let me assure you and encourage you with the Apostle Paul's words in the rest of our Bible reading. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.